Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, good morning. Happy Monday. We've got a preseason game to talk about. Jeremy White, Jody Biasi, Howard out today. We expect him back tomorrow. Corey Jackson producing. What's up? How are you? Football this weekend. We had a lot. You played some golf.
I played golf. I had a fantasy draft. I ate a lot of food.
Oof.
And I'm still recovering from that.
You did one of the bravest things a person can do.
Uh-huh.
Post your golf swing online.
I did do that.
You posted a video of your own golf swing.
Uh-huh.
Which is
The ball trajectory felt good.
It was a good shot.
The swing was fine.
It was a good shot. Just posting anything like that on Twitter.com. I mean, I'm sure you got like 35 lessons in your responses.
The first reply was, keep your left arm straight. I mean, like, there was maybe a little bend, and like, there's the guy with left arm straight, buddy.
Yeah.
Just right away.
Yep. I saw that, and I'm like, oh, I could never do that.
Slow motion, too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, my buddy took the video. He was taking videos of everybody. He's like, I'll do it slow motion, which opens you up even to maybe even more. Right. Everyone's a golf coach.
Everybody.
I try not to be that. I probably do it once in a while just to do it. Like when my brother golfs, he doesn't golf as much. And like he'll top it. And I'll answer like I know why he topped it.
Right.
When I really have no earthly idea.
I will ask, do you want me to give you any sort of input here? Because sometimes, you know, somebody just lines up correctly and you're like, that's it. Just, you know, turn to the right or whatever.
Right.
But I won't just offer it unless usually people ask. Anyway, good morning. Bills win their preseason debut, a come-from-behind effort to beat the Colts, and win their ninth straight preseason game. So while the Ravens are out there with 21, I guess we got to be on Ravens' watch, because when the Ravens lose, now the Bills are coming for them.
Are we rooting for the Ravens to lose? Is this something we want the Bills to have the longest streak of? Well, Do we care yet?
It's going to take, what do they need, at least 12? And they play three a year.
So we're playing four more years.
All right, put the bet board up. Did the Bills break the Ravens preseason win record in the new stadium?
Wow.
Put it on the bet board.
Okay.
That's got to be crazy odds, like plus 5,000 for that one. Because, you know, come on, it's the preseason. So anyway, all right, 803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550. If you have a thought on what you saw. I mean, the Bills win, and there are some names to bring up. There are lots of things to get to. I, of course, am contractually obligated to talk about the preseason pledge and not get too carried away because, you know, some things looked good, some things looked not so good, and I don't think that Case Keenum is off the team because he looked less than impressive in the Bills' first half.
No. Is Jameson Crowder off the team?
No, because a pass that was high bounced off his hands and got picked off? No. He shouldn't be. I mean, who's he off the team for? Jake Kumerow, who fumbled? I mean, who's taking his spot? And Khalil Shakir looked very good. Five catches for 90-something yards.
Mm-hmm.
Shakir looked that good in the blue and red scrimmage. So you had some good things. Well, of course, talk about punt god. I'll give you the name of the guy that flashed the most to me, though, that I was, I don't even know if I want to say pleasantly surprised, but surprised. On the Bills' opening drive, a running back breaks it to the outside, bounces to the outside, and runs for the corner. And he doesn't get to the end zone. And maybe if it's James Cook, he does. But a Bills running back bounces outside, gets into space, and looks pretty fast. And, ooh, look at that. All right. Zach Moss.
The last running back you would have guessed.
Hey.
Yeah.
Zach Moss. Right. As it's happening, I can't see the number from where I'm sitting in the stadium. And I think, it's not Cook. Singletary? No. Oh, that is Zach Moss. And to borrow the term, and I've heard Sal say it too, those expecting the death of Zach Moss's career, the reports of his death have been greatly exaggerated. Zach Moss looked pretty good for the Bills, and maybe he does have a spot on this team. He probably does, right?
Mm-hmm.
They signed Duke Johnson, they draft a running back, and Moss, having been in and out of the lineup for 2 years, I think he's probably pretty firmly on this team. So good for Zach Moss. That's one guy that flashed for me.
He looked spry on that run, for sure. I immediately started wondering about what do they do at running back, like week one, like actives, carries. Like Singletary at the end of last season, it's his show completely. And I think maybe we thought that was just, okay, they've given up on Moss. He mentioned after the game he had an ankle injury all last season that he was dealing with. So I don't know, did they just know, hey, he's limited by the ankle, so we're going to go with Singletary the rest of the way? Because I'm wondering now, yeah, week one, if they give out 20 carries week one, how many are Singletary getting? How many are Moss getting? How many are Cook getting? And I'm starting to think the same way, that maybe Moss gets 6, and that would mean he's on the field. That would mean he makes the team and is active for the first game. But yeah, if it's being exaggerated how much he's just out of the picture now, then I don't know, like what's in play for him and what's in play for the backfield as a whole. Cook played a little bit, but I don't really think he had a moment on Friday or
no,
Saturday.
No, I don't think so either. And with Cook, we may be expecting him to be the pass catching back. When we talked to Ken Dorsey at camp a couple weeks ago, just asked him, hey, how about Cook as a pass catcher? And, Dorsey did the usual kind of raving like you would about a player with that speed. And he did talk about him, how good he is as a running back. And that's something that remains to be seen. You lay out, you're going to give 20 carries out. How many does James Cook get? 4, if that? I don't know that they'll trust him to be a traditional between the tackles running back, at least not early. He'll probably be a third down pass catching kind of weapon. They're going to want to see how he does in pass protection. Maybe they don't even put him in the backfield for pass protection, but he's only out there to go split out wide when they can exploit a matchup against the linebacker. So what they do at running back is, I'm going to go ahead and guess, I bet they just trust Singletary a lot and sprinkle the other two in. I mean, there's no workhorse on this team. We know that. But I bet Singletary gets as many snaps as Moss and Cook do combined.
This could be the position where you trade a guy, by the way.
Could be.
Last year they have too many defensive ends. So what do they do? Like, it's not a major trade by any means, but all right, Daryl Johnson's being traded for a 7th-round pick because he probably should make the team, but they're just so loaded at that position, they don't have a spot for him. So all right, we'll send him away for a late-round pick.
Yeah.
Do they get to a point of running back where it's, okay, Moss should make this team, and he's had a great preseason and training camp, and we've got Singletary and Cook. Like, we've got them active. Tywan Jones is our special teams guy, and I don't know, Duke Johnson had moments. It was more that kick return than anything in the preseason game, but Duke Johnson's going to be our TJ Yeldon, who sits on the bench and only gets a jersey when there's an injury. Are we fine with that? Like, are we comfortable with that? Because if the answer is yes, then they might call around and say, hey, anyone want to give us a 5th-round pick for Zach Moss, a 6th-round pick for Zach Moss?
Which, to me, would seem like the answer probably is no, right? Who's giving up that asset for
any running back?
Any running back, never mind a 3rd-round pick 2 years into his deal that you've decided is your 4th. It could happen. I mean, 7th-rounders get thrown out there because you just want to grab somebody and not necessarily deal with a bidding war, I suppose. I mean, Daryl Johnson, as you said, got traded for a 7th, and I don't know exactly what the Bills did with that 7th. I guess we could go find out. But yeah, it's definitely one of the things to try and figure out is what they do at running back. At receiver, meanwhile, Khalil Shakir, I saw Nate tweet this. Like, the way the Bills are showcasing Shakir in this preseason, happened to the blue and red game, is a good sign because he's playing in slot. He's playing on the outside. He's pretty much doing what you'd want any receiver to do. And maybe that makes them look like they're a little bit deeper. I want to pump the brakes on that a lot. Because, it's nice. It's the preseason. He's got sticky hands. He looks pretty good. The idea that you can roll into the preseason, catch a bunch of balls, and then, all right, you're ready to play on the outside. I'd be very, very wary of that. Like, I'm going to slow down on that quite a bit. But I get it. He looks good. Like, the guy looks the part. And if you heard all the preseason hype on Shakir, you're watching him live up to it in every way, pretty much.
I don't know that I want to pump the... Maybe I'm not all the way there where like Nate is, but who's he battling with? I mean...
Nobody, because he's a draft pick that's a rookie. He's...
Yeah, for snaps, though. Like
for snaps, he's battling with Crowder, and he's probably going to out-snap Crowder.
He might also be battling with Kumaro, and well, Stevenson's out of the lineup. Hodgins, same thing. Like for... we've talked about... This was more point for me about like Beckham and why he might be even more valuable as an insurance policy on the outside. If there's an injury to Diggs or Davis, who goes in? And my answer and Sal's answer, like all offseason, seemingly has been it's been Kumaro, given what they have on the roster. And I don't know, could that be Shakir? Could he pick up 10% of the offensive snaps, being the direct backup to Gabriel Davis and Stephon Diggs? They maybe wanted to get a look at that, and that's why he played so much and got so many targets against the Colts. So he could be battling there, and I don't know, maybe he is battling against Crowder. Because if McKenzie is entrenched, as he's going to have a role on this offense, and like that's written in stone, then is it out of the realm of possibility that he could show them enough that you don't need to keep Jamison Crowder on this team at all, maybe, because I'm ready to play 30%, 40% of the offensive snaps.
Yeah, Crowder, it's funny. Like he signed for so little, and he had a real slow start to camp because he couldn't practice. He was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Then he came in and looked the part, and now he had a drop go off his hands. Like what's their allegiance to Crowder? They don't save any money, really, by cutting him loose. So it's not there'd be no money move there. You know, Kumaro, you wonder about Kumaro. They of course, value special teams, as you well know, and Kumaro's been a part of special teams. You don't talk about a mistake. I mean, I think Kumaro's mistake is a bigger mistake than Crowder's. Crowder goes off his hands. Kumaro is legit ball security. I mean, Crowder's trying to make a play there, trying to get his hands on a ball to tie. Kumaro has the ball, and while being wrapped up, it pops out. So I'm not sure the Bills make a difference between the two. But Isaiah Hodgins, you mentioned him very quickly. Sean McDermott singled him out and praised him.
Yeah.
And for the head coach, talk about a guy that's been on the practice squad for a couple of years. I mean, he's Gabe Davis's draft class, and he made a couple nice plays for sure. And that's the guy that, I mean, I'm going to say I've written him off entirely, but, you know, you're a sixth-round draft pick that spent 2 years on the practice squad. I'm going to write you off because they're going to draft other receivers behind you, which they've done, and sign guys too. I don't know how you get in as a guy like Hodgins, but maybe he does find his way in instead of Jake Kumaro. It's a question for Sal about whether or not Hodgins can be an asset for them on special teams, because if he could, my guess is he'd be the guy to replace Kumaro.
The play he makes on that corner, like the release off the line of scrimmage, it might be the nicest play of the entire game by any Bill.
Yeah.
Like him getting open, the separation, and then the ball being there, it's contested by the time the ball's in the air. And like that diving ability to bring that ball in, That was maybe the nicest play of the entire game. So I was impressed by him as well. And he's not, like you said, not someone I was expecting to be impressed by. There certainly are limitations, though. Like, even while I might declare that play was one of the best, if not the best play of the entire preseason game, him beating the corner off the line of scrimmage, going to the outside, diving, making the catch, bringing it in, get them down to the 1 or 2 yard line. If you watch that play, though, you see the limitation to his game. The limitation to his game is just strictly speed. The corner, like that camera angle from the back of the end zone, if you watch that replay from the back of the end zone, he beats the corner so clean off the line of scrimmage. The corner, I don't remember the name, but Colts number 30. He's out of the picture. He's out of the frame by the time Hodgins is heading upfield. And by the time he turns his head around to look to see if the ball is coming, the corner has caught him.
Mm-hmm.
The corner's on him. And I think that is just that's a lack of speed. That's all that is on the outside. You won as cleanly as you could off the line of scrimmage, and by the time you turn to look for the ball, you're covered again. And you had to make a contested catch. That can still be a way that he is serviceable and makes the team and, right, like maybe wrestles that job away from Jake Kumaro, but I'm still watching that player as, Yeah, that's why you were a sixth-round pick. That's why you've been on the practice squad for 2 years, because, man, you just there's not much separation there.
Right. He gets off watching it again here. And it's not like he's slowing down because the ball is underthrown. He's got to dive for that ball. So it's every step that he's got. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. What did you think about the preseason debut for the Bills, your Bills this year? Had a good crowd, of course. Beautiful day. It was perfect. 77 degrees and sunny. If you went to the game, if you watched on television, give us a call. We'll take some calls on preseason game number one.
Did you go to the game?
We did.
Did you stay? You didn't stay to the end, did you?
No, did not stay till the walk-off field goal.
Was there a consideration?
No, not with two 17-month-old children.
Hmm.
We brought the kids to the game again, and it was, end of the first quarter was the plan. We ended up staying about midway, two-thirds of the way through the second quarter.
Okay.
Never thought about staying the whole game. For a preseason game, even without kids, I don't know the last time I stayed for a full preseason game.
Yeah.
It's, anytime you go to a game, you're doing the traffic math in your head,
mm-hmm.
and especially for preseason, the traffic math is, okay, risk-reward. What am I getting by staying to the end versus yep. how long am I going to have to be in traffic? Because, it's not even a full house. If you leave at halftime, you're just, boom, you're going to be out.
Yeah. I've stayed to the end maybe a couple of times in preseason games. I almost wonder if they're... Is there a time earlier in the game where the traffic is heavier? Like, do more people leave the game in the third quarter than the fourth quarter?
That might be right.
Yeah, because there have been times I've stayed to the end, and it's the same thing. Like, you're out.
Yeah.
And that might be any time you leave, though, because it might be actually the perfect, the best part of a preseason game is everyone is choosing to leave at different times, which means nobody's leaving at the exact same time, so you never really have the massive traffic rush.
Yeah, no bottlenecks.
Yeah.
No mad rushes.
The stadium looked, what, were they down two touchdowns with 8 minutes left? Like, it was pretty empty yeah. by the end. Like, if you left late, if you stayed to the end field goal, you probably got right out of there, I'm guessing.
Maybe. And if, you got to see a walk-off field goal, it's pretty cool.
This is street gross. There might be more consideration from fans. Like, let's see if they can go for 10 here.
Yeah.
See if they go for 11.
803-0550. We'll connect with our fans. Brought to you by Gelber & O'Connell. The law firm of Gelber & O'Connell. Take your personal injury case personally. And we'll start off on the phones on preseason game number one. It's preseason for you guys, too, for callers and for us. So, if you want to just, shake off the cobwebs, do what you got to do, you can give us a call and join us. And for some reason, I'm not able to click Mike. So, see if we punch him up. Mike on a cell. Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Just wanted to say I am thoroughly impressed with Brandon Bean, his scouting department, on how they are just able to fill holes after holes on this team, starting from the punter all the way to the cornerbacks every single year in the draft. The guy's just got a knack for talent. Doesn't matter really what round. If you go back and look at every one of Brandon Bean's drafts, he's finding late-round talent from Milano, to now it looks like Bedford. Bedford is a guy that really popped for me out there on the field. I didn't expect anything out of a sixth round pick. I'm actually driving to Philadelphia. I work right by Villanova, and the word around there is, he's a stud and he's going to surprise the NFL. So, just kudos to Brandon Bean and the scouting department for the Bills, because I believe while, you need a quarterback to win in this league, it all starts with the scouting department, and they're probably the best in the NFL.
Maybe. Thanks, Mike. They definitely have they've had some success in later rounds, and not as much success in the middle rounds. 2-3-4 has been hit and miss. You've got Gabe Davis in the fourth.
Yeah.
You've got Dawson Knox, I believe, in the third. Deion Dawkins in the second. But you've got your share of misses. Are they the best? Maybe. The general consensus, I think, is that nobody beats the draft. And, Christian Benford is a nice story. If it comes to the expense of Kyer Elam not being good enough, is that a win? I would probably tell you if one of them is good, I'm fine. But
it won't feel like it, though.
It certainly won't.
If Benford's what you wanted Elam to be and Elam is a bust, then you're not going to feel good about it. You're going to be mad you don't have two great corners.
Right, but you have Tre'Davious White. So I'm not actually saying this. I take the preseason pledge. I'm not taking it too seriously that Christian Benford is all of a sudden like a starting corner in this league. But this gets back to your point about the running backs. If Benford's your second starting corner, well, then trade Elam. I don't actually mean that.
Yeah.
But, you know, okay.
You did just put it out there, though, for someone to clip it and make it.
Sure, sure, sure. I don't actually mean trade him, but, you know, let's be careful on they've nailed everything, because one thing they've done is invested three mid-round picks in running backs in Singletary, Moss, and Cook. That's two-thirds and a second.
That's a lot of capital.
That's a lot of draft capital in running backs, and, you know, we sit here and watch and wonder how good they are at running back. It's not to get on the Bills for what they've done. What they've done is hit on star players, make savvy trades, make savvy signings. Like, they've done a lot of things really well. And, of course, it starts with the quarterback and a couple of foundational pieces at left tackle. Deion Dawkins, a second-round pick that has turned into a franchise tackle. Tre'Davious White. Free agency is obviously a point here, too. Like, the two safeties, Von Miller, their entire defensive line. I don't know, Joe. It's not necessarily picking it apart, but people love to say you build through the draft, and then they just ignore that you do a lot of building in free agency. A lot of it.
They've done a ton of it.
The Bills have done a ton of building in free agency, but free agency is generally poo-pooed, and the draft is celebrated. But free agency has been a lot of this team over the last 5 years. The defensive line, tons of money sunk into the defensive line. The offensive line, generally built through free agency outside of Dawkins on the left side, right? I guess mm-hmm. Spencer Brown steps in now as a draft pick, but that wasn't initially the plan. It was Darrell Williams.
He also wasn't on the starting right tackle on the Bills depth chart. So
right, exactly. So I don't know. I don't disagree really, Mike, with anything you said. Just kind of got me going on a couple things there.
He mentions Bedford, too, and like my first thought is, yeah, everybody that plays corner for them looks great.
That's a good point. That's right.
Like, that's not to take everything away from the player, but who is the corner that has stepped in on Sean McDermott's defense and we've been like, oh, that's that guy's a liability? Has it ever happened? Like, they insulate them.
It really hasn't ever happened, but you'll get someone to say Josh Norman. And the reality is, only when Josh Norman is asked to be the number two. Well, are you comfortable with Cam Phillips? Yeah, pretty much. Cam Lewis. Yeah.
Yeah, Cam Lewis.
You name it. Cam Lewis, yeah, not Cam Phillips. You name it. When they throw a guy out there, I generally feel pretty good about it. It's why I think that Kaiir Elam will probably be fine. Because put him out there in a secondary with Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, and Taron Johnson, and you're probably feeling good. So that's the problem about Benford being good. It's not really a problem, but when who was it? There was a trade. Somebody got
on a corner?
Yeah. Do we want player X? A corner was traded, and for me it was always...
Oh, like last year?
This year. Prove-it deal, bring him in on a prove-it deal.
Joe Hayden? Well, he's not signed.
Maybe. Was it James Bradbury?
James Bradbury, I think, was the guy. The Giants were trying to trade him. They ended up cutting him. The Eagles signed him. Like a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
That was pre-draft. That was happening. Should we trade for Bradbury?
I'm trying to remember who it was. It might have been him. The idea of bringing somebody in on a cheap prove-it deal at corner was always, to me, silly. Like, guys want to play on prove-it deals, and there aren't spots to play if it was post-draft. Anyway, not important. I'll think of it probably in the break. Thanks, Mike, for the phone call. Your reaction, your thoughts on the Bills' preseason debut, and of course, we haven't mentioned, and we got to get to, Matt Araiza's debut on the scene. He made NFL.com. He dropped jaws around the league in the stadium, watching at home. The Bills' punter probably steals the show more than anything. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We'll go over the preseason pledge, and I'll give you some more context to it because... I still think that it's important. You know, if you think everybody on the Bills is great, you got to hand Rookie of the Year to Kenny Pickett. You got to do it. And you got to say George Pickens is a Hall of Famer. You got to do it right now. Or the preseason maybe is, you know, just a glimpse. Jeremy White, Jody Biasi here on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Go State, a sixth-round draft pick, his first punt today. And it's a big one. Wow, look at this, to the 15, and it's a touchback.
I mean, it was an 82-yard punt. An 82-yard punt, net 62, out to the 20, and I think you found your punter.
82 yards. Hey, if you're blowing away Steve Tasker on the broadcast.
He declared the competition over.
That's right.
There.
It's over. He held on the game-winning field goal. Good morning. Jeremy and Joe with you. Howard's off today. So, punt god, Matt Araiza, saw his post-game interview. It was kind of funny. Just like, he's swarmed by the media. What's it like to hit a ball that far? He's like the long drive champion showed up. He's Happy Gilmore, I guess, right? Like,
yeah.
Look at this guy. Holy cow, we've never seen anybody do it like this. So, I regret to admit that I did not see the punt live. We left before he kicked.
It was the final minute of the second quarter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we just missed it. But, you know, my wife and I were driving home, got the game on in the car, so Murph's on the call. And the call from Murph is, you know, Araiza back to kick, he gets it away, and then you hear the crowd on the broadcast. You hear 50,000, whoa. This big swell of noise. And, of course, seen the highlights a bunch of times by now. So, I'm not kidding when I say this. That's the perfect punter. The perfect punter is not coffin corners. He can be intricate and you can punt from the 50-yard line to the one.
Yeah.
The perfect punter, especially for this team, is now he's going to kick it through the back of the end zone. I would take 39 punts this year and 39 touchbacks. If you know you're going to get a touchback, if the Bills could know every time he kicks it, it's going to be a touchback, your analytics, your fourth down percentages, you could eliminate the variable of, well, I mean, what if we make him go with a long field? A touchback's a long field against this defense. You will never, ever give up a short field. You'd never be disappointed because the ball rolls into the end zone. If Joe, put a piece of paper in front of me right now to sign, would you sign up for a touchback on every punt? My answer is going to be yes.
You might, right, it's almost a benefit.
To know
that, hey, like, and not be tempted by it.
You'll
like,
never punt from the 50.
You'll never punt from the 50 because you know it's going to go right to the back of the end zone.
Yep. Or you'll make peace with it. You're going to punt
You're
going to punt from your own 40 on 4th and 6. Going to be a touchback.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Sold. I, of course, that won't happen. Not everyone will be a touchback, but so you'll have some hang time and some technique, and I'm sure that Sean McDermott won't want to do that, and Leslie Frazier and their special teams coordinator Matthew Smiley, like they're gonna want a little better, but netting 62 is from anywhere on the field. He punted it from his own 8.
Yeah, right.
It went from the 8-yard line into the end zone.
Yeah,
and it almost checked up at the 2.
Yep. Right, 92 yards.
They call it 82. It went like 95. I think it went 77 in the air. That was a 10 out of 10. The fact that it's a touchback doesn't even matter when you punt it from your own 8-yard line. If this Bills team, which we think is going to have the high-powered offense that it does. You know, how many times are they going to punt a game? Not that many. And when they get on the plus side of the field, what are they going to do? Hopefully they're going to go for it like they have for the last couple of years. If you have to go 75, 80 yards against this defense every single time, Bills are going to win a lot of games. So my plan on special teams is to never want or care about the finer points of the punting and just say, hey, buddy, blast this puppy through the back of the end zone.
Right, every time just kick it as far as you can.
We will never commit a penalty, right? Not going to commit a penalty to give them better field position. We will never give up a punt return that goes to no punt return touchdowns to sneakily get a team back in this game. We will never suffer injuries on our punt. We don't even need gunners anymore.
Well, I was going to say, you never get a punt blocked because you just have everybody back blocking.
That's right. Max protect through the back of the end zone. I'm telling you, I think it's a special teams hack. What somebody pointed out on Twitter, and I thought this is a good point. You got guys making this roster because they're gunners on the team. Not anymore.
No more gunners.
No more gunners. Give me a kickoff specialist that puts it in the end zone. Sensitive subject, 13 seconds. And give me a punter that goes to the back of the end zone. I can eliminate returns altogether and always make you go a long distance against my defense. I think that's a legit analytics special teams hack. Hacks off the team. My hawk.
Your signature can be the John Hancock, like that everybody sees, like big at the bottom. I want to be the Thomas Jefferson, though, signing right underneath it.
Yeah.
Like, I am in on this. I think the main reason is, though, like the fourth down part. Like, just do not have me punting from the opposing team's side of the field at all, ever.
Yep.
Like, please never have that happen. And if this punter is going to make it so that they're not more tempted to do that, then I'm in. But they can't cut him, right?
Nope.
They can't cut him. That is a special, special talent for a punter.
I mean, you could argue he made the team when they drafted him, and he's a draft pick.
Right.
And Matt Hawk last year struggled, and they've had a rise up punting an awful lot.
Basically, don't screw up the holding so bad that we can't keep you.
And when you drop that 62 net and that 82-yard punt, you buy yourself probably a year, at least, to see the special ability. Think about any other position. You know, a receiver makes an incredible play, a one-handed catch. Khalil Shakir, we're already pretty impressed by what he's done in one preseason game, and everybody wants to see more. Isaiah Hodgins had a highlight. That highlight, maybe he'll make the team. Matt Araiza, what's the equivalent? A quarterback like Josh Allen throwing 70 yards? He showed you something that you don't get from anybody else. You can't find that almost anywhere in the league.
Yeah.
Almost anywhere on earth. You can't find a guy.
He might be the human being on earth that can punt the ball the furthest.
Right.
Like, it's possible he's the guy for that. So, yeah, a year? At least, if he's on the team, and I would assume at this point that he's going to be, you know, you get, what, a couple of muffs along the way, and, like, you're fine. If it becomes, four or five times throughout the course of the season, maybe they make an in-season move. But I think I would agree. Even if you buy yourself, all right, you got one blocked. You dropped a snap. You dropped a hold. Like, you can get away with a couple of those because everyone's going to remember, oh, yeah, but you're also going to kick the ball 90 yards, once every four or five punts.
Yeah. Where were you when Matt Araiza unleashed his first bomb?
By the way, punter swag rating through the roof. I saw you tweeting about the number 19.
It's a cool number.
It's a cool number, but he's got the whole. He doesn't look like a punter.
No, he looks like.
He almost looks like a receiver.
Yep.
He's got the arm sleeve. He's got like the face mask that like a receiver would have. Not like just the. You know, like Bass has got it, like the really thin two bars, like around the chin. Like he looks like a football player.
Carl writes in the regular season, if the Bills are fourth down on their own 20, do they purposely take a delay of game to give him more room to work? Yeah. Arise has only got 82 yards here. They're going to back him up and make sure he's got 87 to work with.
If you watch the punt, like where it lands and where it stops in the end zone, the ball kind of stops and like turns around like maybe 3-4 yards into the end zone. So where would have been the perfect spot for him?
5 yards back.
Where did he punt from?
The 8.
The 8? So the 4. You want to get him to the 4-yard line, I think, is where you want to get Matt Araiza to.
And the Bills have taken their 7th delay of game to give Araiza 35 yards to work with. Now it's pretty cool and a fun thing to talk about that, you know, this punter, he's lived up to it so far.
There was also, like, I for the most part will, like, roll my eyes a little bit at, like, the holding part of all of this. He never held in college. So, like, he's picked it up. Like, he's learned this thing in, like, 2 months.
Yeah.
And there was one, I don't think it was the game-winning field goal, but one of the previous field goals, the snap was, like, in the ground in front of him. And, like, he picked it up. Like, he picked it up, he got it, it was right down, laces out. And, like, any thought that holding some crazy skill that is going to take him a year to learn, like, that was perfect right there. Like, was not a good snap, you picked it up, it was in, and Bass kicked it through the uprights.
You know, so it depends who you ask. I mean, when we talked to Tasker from camp, we asked him, like, is it hard? And he thought, I don't think so. He's like, I did it.
Right.
And, you know, can you learn it? I guess.
I think Ariza just has, I think.
Sure. And one thing to maybe be, well, nervous about is it's only because we've paid attention to it all year that if there ever is a bad hold or a fumbled hold, it'll be a thing. So there could have been one.
Right. Yeah.
There could have been one in any one of the last 50 games for the Bills, but we didn't talk about it going into the season. So surely week 6, week 10, there's going to be a botched hold. And, oh, hey, guys, we talked about this. I mean, it could happen anywhere along the way. The Cowboys, when Romo botches that snap in the playoff game, they didn't talk about it the whole year. It's just a freak thing that happened, unfortunately, to Tony Romo.
I'm ready to do the math on it. Week 6, if they what are the points that you lose? You lose 3, right? You lose 3 points for a botched snap on a field goal. How much do you gain with 25 extra yards on every punt throughout the season?
Right. The points, expected points added to pin a team or flip the field by 60 yards if you can. I mean, he's not going to net 60 on every punt. We know that. But one of the benefits of where they were on the field, he's punting from the 8. It probably is. I mean, pull out the driver, man.
Yeah.
Hit the big club. Thunk. 90 yards later, it's in the end zone. And, you know, everyone's just going to like, all right, that was a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Sal said it best on Twitter. He said, don't overthink it. Don't talk about the net. Don't talk about it into the end zone. Every coach, every time, would take a 62-yard net.
Every time.
Every single coach would be thrilled with a 62-yard net punt. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. All right, yeah. Is David on the line? I'm just not, for whatever reason, I can't punch people up. It's still not working for me. Oh, I thought he was there. Anyway, I got to tell you about the FedEx playoff because you missed it.
I missed it. And then also, I went to the highlights that the Golf Channel put up. And the whole, they must have done this thing where they only put the good shots in.
Okay.
So I guess they stuck very literal to the term highlights. But I went to these highlights to see the lowlights, like to see how they got to where they got in the third playoff.
There were lowlights in the playoff.
Yeah, that's what I went there for.
It was like watching you and me in a playoff. A little bit. Scrambling. What's he going to do now? Oh, that's in the water. Oh, that's way to the right. He's got to punch out. It was crazy.
The ball that is jumping around, that's the video I see on Twitter that caused me to want to get to the highlights. Was seeing it bounce like 4 or 5 times and then landing like between the grass and like where the rocks and the rock wall was.
Pretty good stuff. We'll try next for DJ in Lockport. If you can punch up DJ. Good morning, DJ.
Hey, I just realized there's a bell now and not that sound. So,
all right.
You know, the new caller's coming in. It's a bell now. So, anyway, real fast. First off, do the Bills have the strongest leg and strongest arm in NFL history on the team at the same time? And two, Case Keenum did not look that good. Are we gonna start worrying about him as our backup? Or I mean, if he has a bad game the next couple games here, is he in line to be cut? If you try to go get a Fitz or somebody, or does Barkley look decent against number 3s and 4s? But are we worried about Case Keenum? And if so, who do we go to get more so of Josh Allen's skill set? So in case somebody else has to play, they don't have to change the whole dynamic. Just for the new guy. So I'll hang up and listen and have a good day, guys.
All right, thanks, DJ. You might be worried about Keenum. I am not. I think he is a...
I'm not either.
Very serviceable backup who has been a starter. And, you know, last year he played for the Browns a little bit. three touchdowns, one pick. I'm not worried about him. It is the preseason. They don't game plan. I'll pull out the full preseason pledge for you, which does not apply to punt gods. but I'll pull out the full preseason pledge. It's not real football. It is practice. It is practice with a scoreboard. It's still practice with a scoreboard.
It's not the best offensive lineman out there in front of him. It's not the better receivers out there in front of him.
He's not throwing to Diggs. He's not throwing to Davis.
What are you trying to judge him on? You're trying to judge him on who should be the backup quarterback. You're judging who should be the backup quarterback on. You got to go in with the first team offense because Allen's hurt. How you doing?
Yeah.
And like I'm supposed to tell what he'll do because Bobby Hart couldn't block anybody yesterday at left guard.
How many games do they win if they play 17 games with Case Keenum instead of Josh Allen? They go 9-8?
Eight or nine. They're the Dolphins. They're the Patriots. Is that overstating it?
I think it might be too low.
Too low.
I think it's too low.
I mean, this AFC's tougher, but Case Keenum with a Vikings roster that was maybe comparable to this, but even not as complete as this, went to the NFC Championship game.
I mean, the Bills are the Super Bowl favorite with Josh Allen. Without him, are they still the favorite to win the division? If Keenum's in instead of Josh Allen for a full season. I'm not trying to take anything away from Allen. What I'm trying to say is, I think when we talk about this team, we talk about them as, on paper, the best roster in football.
Right.
One of them.
Outside of quarterback.
Ian Harditz, who you and I both follow, he's Pro Football Focus.
Yes.
He had an interesting way of saying this. If all 32 NFL teams had Drew Locke as their quarterback, the Bills would win the Super Bowl, is what he said. Basically, like, the Bills have the best roster outside of quarterback and arguably the best quarterback as well. So I am not worried about Keenum.
I'm not either.
And, you know, Barkley's presence is something. He's
going to be the Davis Webb, right? He's going to be the guy that Allen's comfortable with. It's like the coach in the locker room. Like, just that's also on the roster.
803-0550. We'll get Sal's thoughts on Keenum, on Matt Araiza, Khalil Shakir, Baylen Specter, another name like that guy flashed all over the field. We'll talk about him with Sal. Tim Settle, the new look defensive line. I came to something, I mean, we've all known this, Joe, but just kind of thinking, really thinking, watching a Tim Settle bull rush of Quentin Nelson, I just thought, I just can't wait to watch this defensive line. This new look defensive line with Von Miller, Ed Oliver, Tim Settle, everybody they've got, Epinesa, Rousseau. I can't wait to watch this defensive line. It's something that, you know, could be pretty exciting. 803-0550. We're taking your thoughts on the preseason opener and, you know, what you think. We all come away with things we think, and it's about, you know, putting those in the right spot. I'm guilty of it too, thinking like, oh, this guy looks amazing. With Punt God, it's true. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Will Zalatoris, a couple of big putts. So, quickly, we'll get Sal, top of the hour, to recap the Bills' preseason win over the Colts. Joe, you did not see the playoff between Zalatoris and Sepp Straka. I was locked in on that. It was a great playoff. They hit big putts and big shots, but it was sloppy. I mean, Straka hit one where it was basically close enough to the water that he had to take a drop, and he hit it close, got up and down. But the final hole... So, Zalatoris goes first, and he hits a tee shot that hits the stone on the other side of the water. It's a stone wall.
Like the top of the rock wall.
It bounces three times and settles on top of the rock wall up against the grass. And you can pretty clearly see on the broadcast, I mean, Zalatoris, he's back on the tee, and so is Straka. They know, all right, well, it's up, but it's not wet. Looks like it's up against the grass there. On the broadcast, I thought it was pretty clear, you can't hit that ball. There's no chance.
Because it was like...
It was like there's the sod, and the ball is almost below the grass line, and it's resting on the stone.
Right, there's nowhere for the ball to go.
There's nowhere for
it's
the ball.
It's like underneath the grass more.
And he's going to hit his club into a stone, and he's taking a complete chance. This could go anywhere, including backwards into the water or wedged underneath the dirt.
Like, yeah.
There's no way he can advance this ball anywhere. He's going to have to take a drop.
This was after...
No.
No, this is not after Straka hit
Straka hit second. This is the key. So I don't know if Straka had that information or knew that. He just knew he didn't go in the water.
Yeah.
He's up. Straka then hits the same exact spot, basically, and falls back into the water. Had Straka known, he's going to have to take a drop on that.
You overhit it, right?
Just, hey, buddy, go left. Put it in center of the green.
Yeah.
And two putt for your
par. Did he go pin seeking?
I don't know if he did. He just left it short and put it in the water, too. They were both off on their distance because there must have been a little bit of a headwind. But it was very clear, I thought, that there's no way Zalatoris could hit that ball. So, anyway, Straka goes in the water. He has to drop.
Yeah.
Straka hits his drop shot into the bunker. At that point, Zalatoris knows. Then he hits out of the bunker, sorry. He's still away. So while Zalatoris is waiting the whole time, Straka gets all the way to where he's now putting for double bogey.
And he's further out than Zalatoris is.
He's got maybe a 5-foot putt. At that point, Zalatoris says, he and his caddy are talking about it, if you go back and drop, you get up and down for the win. And if you don't get up and down, the worst that can happen is you're going to a playoff. Because he's got to putt in for double bogey before Zalatoris has even hit his...
He could retroactively go back and drop?
He didn't hit it. He was away the whole time while deciding, and while watching it play out, decided, go back and drop.
While the ball is sitting between the rock wall and the sod.
He's thinking about what to do, and he sees Straka basically...
just imploding in front of him.
Kind of. I mean, Straka didn't hit it up and down like Zalatoris did, so he goes back to 94 yards... puts it to 5 feet, makes the putt, wins the tournament. It was pretty cool. And Zalatoris, he's been all over these majors in second place. He's number one in the FedEx standings now. And I think Brian Koziel was tweeting about this too, Sabres host and our general golf expert here on the station. Every single time Will Zalatoris is on television and putting, you've got the color commentary guys saying, like, I can't believe he gets away with his putter, with his stroke. This is terrible. Look at this. This is awful. And he just keeps being awesome.
Mm.
Like, he hit huge, huge putts to force a second playoff, a third playoff, and then to win it. So, good for him. Pretty cool. In his post-game interview, or post-round interview, you could tell he was, like, maybe choking up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he finally got his first win, and he's definitely been deserving of a win. What did he... He went to a playoff in the PGA.
He finished second last year. Right. He's finished second at the Masters, the PGA, and the U.S. Open. He's still only 25 years old.
And hadn't had a win. Not one
had a win.
On
the tour at all.
Yep. So good for him. Pretty darn cool. And he did say something to the effect of, like, it's time to go do some celebrating. So I'm sure he did that. All right. When we get back, Sal Capaccio, top of the hour on the Bills and their preseason win over the Colts. We'll talk about Matt Araiza, Khalil Shakir, Case Keenum, who, of course, came up with a caller earlier. Anybody you want to bring up, 803-0550, whether that's Jake Kumerow, Tanner Gentry, I already said Spectre. Who else? Who else haven't we mentioned that needs to be talked about? Hmm. Tim Settle.
Is there a lineman?
Kair Elam. He had a head injury, but did come back. We'll talk about Elam, about Christian Penford, all of it. So we'll get Sal's rundown on preseason game number one when we return here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. visit pitchhitrun.com today.